Well, Enzeme, the temperatures up here in the Great North have been frigid. Today, for the first time in several days, we made it to 21 degrees for a couple of hours. So it seemed like a heat wave, but at least since golf season never ends in Chicago, we know that our friends are still playing at places like the Misswood Golf Dome on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Indoor dining is now back at McWethy Sports Bar in the Dome, but you do need to call the Dome at 630-739-7600 to reserve a hitting bay. Lessons and club fittings are available. And the good news is that the Schaumburg Golf Club has opened its simulators up in the basement finally. Chandler's Chop House upstairs is not yet reopened, but they could be doing that shortly. But you can call the Schaumburg Golf Club at 847-885-9000 and go down and play some golf on the simulators. And the good news is that if you enjoy the Schaumburg Golf Club to begin with, they are one of the few clubs in town that has simulators where you can actually play that golf course. So you can play all 27 of the newly renovated holes at Schaumburg Golf Club on the Schaumburg Golf Club simulators. So always a good way there. So Len, even though it's pretty chilly up here, we do have golf season. I know it's a little better by you down in Port St. Lucie.
Well, you know, it's not all that much better. To be honest with you, and it's nothing like Chicago, of course, but we visited two of Florida resorts last week, Saddlebrook in the Tampa area and Mission Inn near Orlando for travel destination reports that regularly do. And, you know, the weather was, it was especially at Mission Inn, it was extremely cold for here. It was 42 degrees and it was lots and lots of wind, very wind. It made it feel like it was much colder than that. We were dressing in layers, and I tell you, I was very happy to have still in my bag a stocking cap that I have worn for years in the days when Chicago golf was getting real cold. So anyway, it was a good time to be out there, good fresh air, good places to visit. But now that the weather is more mild here, it's a good thing because they're starting to already talk up the start of the Florida Tour on the PGA circuit with the Honda Classic coming up in about a month. So we're in a better situation, but it's the time for the PGA Tour to get here, that's for sure.
Len, this week the PGA Tour is at Pebble Beach, but it's not the three-course rotation that viewers are normally used to seeing. The celebrities are not there. The Pro-Am part of it is canceled. Bill Murray will not be out parading around. And some of the top names are not there also, including many of the top 10 rated players in the world. Dustin Johnson winning in Saudi Arabia last week was the last name in the field, but after winning and having to fly back to the United States from Saudi Arabia, he decided to withdraw. But one thing that I think Len is looking up for the PGA Tour is there was three names that played well last week in Phoenix that needed, shall we say, a bounce-back tournament. Steve Stricker, the Ryder Cup captain. Brooks Koepka, the winner of last week. His first really good performance since he had that knee surgery last year. And Jordan Spieth also seems to be finding his game. And I believe he backed it up today with a 65. Those three names are playing well on the PGA Tour. It's good for everyone.
Yeah, it really is. Those are Koepka has had really, you know, he had injury problems for quite a while, and by his own admission, he said his game was in really a dark place. But boy, he snapped right out of it to win that tournament. That was a terrific chip in for eagle on the 71st hole of the tournament, and the next 17th of the last day. So that was really good. And you always like to see Jordan Spieth play well, I think, because he's remained a popular player. He was so good for as such a young player for quite a while. And then his game kind of really went sour, and people wondered what was happening to him. But that was signs of the old Jordan Spieth. He shot 61 in the third round of the tournament last week. Now, Pebble Beach is a whole nother matter. I mean, this is like a Pebble Beach Pro-Am like we've never had before. It's no longer a Pro-Am. By my count, there's none of the top 10 are in the field. now that Johnson withdrew. But you know who is there and who has a great record playing there is our own Wheaton's Kevin Streelman, who was a runner-up to Nick Taylor there last year. And Kevin, he would be, if it was a normal Pebble Beach Pro-Am, he'd be a defending champion in the team as a team. He's one of he's won with Larry Fitzgerald, football player. He's won with him twice, and that pair is one. This was quite an interesting statistic to me. That pair is one of only four teams that have won more than one title in the team event at Pebble Beach. And the team event there is a big deal out there, very social, a celebrity-type atmosphere. But that tournament's been going on since 1937. So Kevin's record there is pretty darn good, and he needs a good tournament because his world ranking has been slipping since play resumed in 2021. He needs a good tournament to get his ranking up there to get into the Masters.
Well, he made the cut, picked up a nice check, I believe, a little over $40,000 last week. And, of course, Northbrook native, U of I alum Nick Hardy, also after fighting through that playoff to get in the field, played pretty darn well the first 2 days, made the cut, only shot one under par on the weekend. Nick picking up about $23,800-plus last week as well. And he should be in good form as the Korn Ferry Tour gets ready to go here, I believe, next week.
Yeah, next week in Florida, the Suncoast Classic in Florida. Nick is really in a great position for his career. He's playing very well. He goes into the 2021 portion of this season, number 15 on the Korn Ferry point list. And, you know, the top 25 when the year is all over, they automatically get their PGA Tour cards. So, boy, this sure seems like it's Nick's time to make a huge career breakthrough.
Other news on the local front is that West Suburban-based Tour Edge has made some news this week. Tour Edge Golf Equipment not only releasing a new line of exotic metals, irons appear to be coming up soon, but they also made news with the signing of Champions Tour player Bernhard Langer. And I'll tell you what, that's a big move for that company in the world of senior golf.
It's huge. Bernhard Langer is really the face of the Champions Tour. He's been their best player pretty much for the last 10 years at least. And I think that Tour Edge has really made a wise decision to go after Champions Tour players as ambassadors. I mean, they have Scott McCarron and Tom Lehman are their two biggest names prior to this. I think they have Duffy Waldorf and Tim Petrovic, I think, is the fourth. I think that gives them five players now, but Langer, of course, is far and away the top name in that circuit. And I think that it's going to be real interesting. He's going to be playing more and more with Tour Edge clubs. He's already been using him, just not as a staffer with the company. But what he does from here on in, I mean, he shows absolutely no sign of age. He's been as steady as they come. There's been very few players in the history of golf that have been as consistent for as long as he's been.
Len, the word out there is that there could be yet another Champions Tour player joining the Tour Edge staff. Ken Duke's name is going around that he might be close to a deal. So we'll keep our eyes open for that. More golf to be played overseas. And this year, regardless of whether fans or spectators, patrons, whatever you want to call them, are let in, the British Open, or the Open Championship, as some call it, will get played, definitely, this year. Will be played, so it'll be interesting to see how it all comes off, but it's nice to know there will be four majors.
Yeah, it sure is. That was certainly one of the biggest absentee of the tournaments that weren't played last year. A year without the British Open really seemed weird. Now, I think what's going to happen now, it'll be very interesting to see how that tournament comes back after actually not having been played this year. In other words, there's going to be a big gap. It's not the same as it was with the U.S. Open and the PGA and the Masters. They had different dates, but they were played. There wasn't a complete year off. So it's going to be interesting to see not only how the tournament is covered, how the tournament is plays up on TV, players that are there. We hope it doesn't, and I don't think it will, but it could be losing some of the luster maybe that it had before, just by taking a year off.
Golf news continues to come out in the world of golf here around Chicago. I had an opportunity to catch up with Susan Hess, the owner and, shall we say, lead designer at Golftini over in Prospect Heights. And Susan is very excited about the way their business has continued to grow. She's added some people in the sales department that had been laid off by other golf companies that were struggling during the pandemic here, and plans to continue growing her line of apparel. And when asked when Golftini will start producing menswear, she said, well, there's some men working for me now that have been telling me that. I have three boys. They're all saying, Mom, when are we going to start producing menswear? And so there is a hint that there will be some selections for the guys coming out of Golftini before all too long, maybe not this month or next, but I think over the next few months we might see some limited options for the guys coming out of Golftini.
We're going to have to be on the lookout for that. I tell you, anything new in men's golf fashion, we want to be cutting edge. And Golftini has done well with what it's been producing, but it kind of surprises me that they haven't put out some kind of men's version of stuff yet, but I'm glad to hear it might be coming now.
Well, Len, we touched on the British Open, and I know we touched on it a little bit last week. We talked about Ireland and Club Choice Ireland. I had an opportunity to catch up on Zoom with Tiernan Byrne of Club Choice Ireland, and they offer some incredible golf trips over to Ireland. They give you an opportunity to experience the country. If you want to come over there and just play 36, 36, 36, go to bed and get on the plane and go home, they may not be the best choice for your folks that would be handling your travel. They like you to get out and enjoy a little bit of Ireland, give you a little free time to relax and test out the restaurants, the pubs, go visit some castles and things of that nature. So if you've ever thought about taking a trip to Ireland and want to play some golf, but want to do some other things as well, this might be the best way to do it, clubchoiceireland.com. And as soon as the pandemic pans back a little bit and people are getting up for world travel, this might have to be on a lot of people's bucket list.
Well, I tell you, I've never been to Ireland, but I kind of wish I had been strictly on the golf side, but I like the way they're presenting their program there, that it doesn't have to be all golf, and it shouldn't be if you go there. I think visiting the pubs and the castles and just having the scenery, if you just played one round of golf a day instead of two, I think that'd be really capturing the experience of what Ireland really is. So I'm glad to hear that they're promoting it, and I hope that someday I can make that trip.
Well, hopefully when the pandemic lifts and people are flying from country to country again, we can get on the plane and get over and see some things. It's beautiful country. There is plenty to do off the golf course as well. Of course, Club Choice Ireland, they can get you on some of the better courses. But, you know, sometimes, Len, if you're just playing the country's best courses all the time, the types that the British Open, Rota, would want to book for the championship, that can get to be a little too much for some people. It's nice to collect the bag tag, but if you get over there and you're spraying it a little and the weather's not great, getting a little rain and a little wind, which can always happen in Scotland and Ireland, but and you're losing all your golf balls in the gorse over there, 2 or 3 days in a row of that can beat you up. So they'll get you on top-level courses, but they'll get some ones that you'll definitely enjoy and be able to write home about and or will look good also on your social media pages. Len, one of the other news stories this week, back closer to home, is this year over at Kiawah Island, the home of the PGA Championship in May. The PGA of America and our good friend, current PGA President Jim Richardson, announcing rangefinders. They're here. Players are going to be able to use them if they want during PGA events, and they're hoping it will speed up play.
You know, I am all for this. I think it's long overdue that these were allowed in tournaments. I commend the PGA of America for being the one to do it, but there's a lot of other places that haven't allowed them, and that like the PGA Tour. I think this is a real. I think rangefinders are an excellent addition to golf. I think it will speed up play, and I think the other golf ruling bodies ought to give really serious thought to them as well. There's no reason golf can't step into the modern age in that and bring rangefinders into the tours, just as it has been part of recreational play for quite a few years now.
Len, obviously, as you might think, there's been some mixed reaction to that. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that some people have said is, hey, bring in the rangefinders. But what really slows people down is they believe when these pros on tour are standing out there reading those books on the green that show every break and in different colors, how severe the break is. I know that I've heard from some pros and some fans that things could speed up around the greens if they banned those yardage books with the multicolor descriptions of the green and how severe the breaks are. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if there's some give and take. Yeah, you can use your rangefinder. Or maybe that should be the rule. You can use your rangefinder or you can use your book, but you can't use both. And you might have to declare before you tee off what you're going to do. That would bring some interesting challenge. And you know, if the guy using the rangefinder one day goes low and his partner's using the book and he doesn't, you know, then the next day, do you see people flip-flopping what they're doing? Could bring some interesting strategy day-to-day to the PGA Tour events and to the major championships.
Well, you have to put a stopwatch on those guys. That even another another element of stop. Think about it, a stopwatch. With the number actually showing like it does on the in the NFL games and the NBA games where you have only so 35 seconds to shoot and stuff like that, now that'd sure speed up play. But boy, I think the players would go crazy. But it'd be fun to at least see it happen a few times.
Len, we have to give a shout out, a tip of the cap or a golf visor to our friend Tim Cronin at the Illinois Golfer. Tim's had some news regarding courses and their status, and two courses relatively close to one another on the south side are going to be shutting down. Calumet Country Club, which was sold, apparently will remain open for its final season this year. This is going to be it, and then it's going to be gone, and how long it will be open this year remains to be seen, but there is going to be some golf out there this summer. Also, the Lansing Country Club, which has actually been closed for a couple of years. It officially was the notification came out that they're going to be building some different corporate parks and things on that land that sits on both sides of the Illinois and Indiana border. The tax bill on the Illinois side, so much higher than Indiana, led to the club's closing a couple of years ago. But that land is going to be redeveloped to put in some office buildings or low-story manufacturing plants, things like that. And in addition, the Rockford Park District has announced the closing of one of its courses. They have a few courses up there, but the one that seemed to be struggling the most and needs the most repair, the Park District there has decided to shut down a golf course up there as well.
Yeah, I used to live way back when, right out of college. I spent a few years living right around the Lansing area, right on the Indiana line, working at the Hammond Times. And I tell you, I really, you know, there's going to be some attrition with golf courses, but I'm really, really sorry to see that Calumet Country Club is apparently on its final legs over there. That's been a very historic course. And a really a good course. I mean, just it hasn't been. I think it was 2017. See, it hosted the Illinois State Amateur that Patrick Flavin won, I believe.
That is correct. Yes.
You know, it's been a good tournament site. It's in an area there where there's you know, you're very close to Olympia Fields, Flossmoor, Idlewild, Ravislow, a lot of good courses in that area. But I hate to see that Calumet is going to be gone. It was it's been a real good track for a lot of years, and I think golfers are going to miss it.
Closer to you in the Orlando area, there's some news. I think it's coming through Hilton Hotels. There is some sort of a development getting built, and it appears that Jack Nicklaus will be building a new signature golf course as part of this development, only minutes away from Disney World.
Yeah, I don't know all the details of that one, but, you know, in Florida here, Jack Nicklaus has done lots and lots and lots of courses here. He lives right out the West Palm Beach, Jupiter area. He's lived there forever. I think from the early 70s, in fact. His company is still, his design firm is still, while he stepped away from it to a degree, it's still putting out some very quality courses. So, you know, Orlando's a funny place. It's got Bay Hill, it's got its private clubs, but we like Mission Inn as a resort course, which is just on the outskirts of Orlando. But Orlando could stand a good refreshing new course there. And I, of course, you can't go wrong with a Nicklaus course anywhere.
Well, a lot of good ones, you know, and we've seen it. And, you know, the Senior PGA Championship won't be there this year, unfortunately. But Harbor Shores, just over the borderline up there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, not far away, it's open to the public. You know, some of the great Nicklaus courses are not open to the public, but that's one anybody can play. And that is quite a success story there on how they took some land that was basically a landfill. There was garbage. There was cars that were being there, put out there, and old furniture, refrigerators, and all this stuff got hauled away, and that beautiful golf course did get built that's hosted the Senior PGA Championship several times, sponsored by KitchenAid. They've redone that marina. The Harbor Shores Hotel is there. And I'll tell you what, it is really a nice area now. A lot of people have bought homes or have places up there that they're spending time at in the summer. Lenny, before I let you go today, I just got to ask you this question. Do you have a spare $2 billion laying around? Because if so, you could be the new owner of TaylorMade Golf. They are going up for bid and for auction, and I think all you need is $2 billion to buy the company, and then you can sit down and rub shoulders with many of the game's great players who use their equipment.
You know, that when that hit me right between the eyes, and for two reasons. Number one, I was stunned that TaylorMade was up for sale, number one. Been a very big-time equipment manufacturer for a long time, and two, the price. That is one hefty price tag. I wonder what the final verdict will be, who will get it, and what they'll pay, because that's one of the most interesting stories in golf in of the whole year, really. So for me, it was pretty much an unexpected one, simply because TaylorMade have been so high profile for so long. But, you know, things do change. It'll be interesting to see how that one plays out.
Well, there was some word, Len, that the only way they broke even or made money the last couple of years was the fact that they didn't spend the money to be part of the PGA merchandise show when all their top rivals, Titleist, Callaway, Mizuno, and even the Tour Edges of the world, Wilson Golf of the world, Ping, and people like that, they were all there. Everybody was there but TaylorMade in some shape or form. So it was kind of surprising to not see them there. But hopefully whatever's happening at TaylorMade, when the new owners come in, they'll help get that company restructured. They'll continue to make top-notch equipment and continue to be a major player in the golf industry. With that, Lenny, I think this issue of Zeman Spears is in the books, and I'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yep, bring it on. Look forward to it.